Blog Talk Radio.
Caught a glimpse of your splendor. Most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it was like a flash of lightning reflected off the sky. And I know I'll never be the same.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances that she has made over the last 2,000 years. And you might think she came 5 or 6, maybe 10 times at the most. Well, the International Marian Research Institute in Dayton, Ohio, has collected documentation showing that she's appeared going on 2,700 times in 2,000 years. She's been busy. Now, it's not because people asked her to show up. It's not because we prayed for her to show up. It's not because we got our way with that. Not at all. In fact, visionaries didn't know they were going to become visionaries. the average people going about their business when suddenly their lives were changed abruptly, supernaturally. I mean, if a glowing, brilliant woman in a light, beautiful woman appears to you in the middle of the woods, you're going to wonder what you had in your breakfast. You know, it's going to turn your life around. And when other people see her too, and when you realize you're not imagining things, and then you wonder, who is that? You know, it's not like we asked the Virgin Mary to show up. She's been making these appearances all over the world. It's not just a little fad in Italy or France. It's all over, in Vietnam and China and India and Australia and South America and everywhere she's been appearing. So it's quite a phenomenon, which I knew nothing about more than 11 years ago. And being a psychiatric therapist, I thought I'd seen everything. Although this is not a psychiatric issue. This is not a psychological problem or disorder. And if you don't believe me, ask all the other professionals who've interviewed and examined all the visionaries and their experiences, and nobody has claimed any psychological problem. In fact, they've all claimed to be normal, healthy people who continue to be normal, healthy, and more spiritually evolved because of all this, as are their families and neighbors and friends and others who are close to the situation. So obviously there's something very real going on. Scientists have had a great time studying this and being perplexed by the things that they've found, because it's almost like those visionaries are not in this world completely. It's like they have one foot in heaven and one foot on earth. And while they're talking with the Virgin Mary or angels or whoever is present, they do not feel or experience or see any of the things on earth. They can be poked and prodded and burned and all sorts of things, and they don't feel it, nor do they have marks or scars or anything. It can rain and they don't get wet. It's just bizarre. And the scientists have studied their brains and found that when they're in these ecstasies of a religious nature, they're not in hypnotic trances. They're experiencing delta waves consistently, which is what you would have if you're deep in a coma. And yet they're talking openly with someone that we can't see. And yet their brains are literally shut down and something else has come into them at that point. Yeah, that's coming from the scientists, not from me. So we've got quite a mystery going on. And what we do on this show is study it, examine it, go over the details, see what the church feels about each story. They're very cautious and take their time to study it and to offer their opinion on whether they think it's credible, believable, worthy of study or worship. So all this we look at on our show, and tonight we're going to be going to Jerusalem for an amazing series that happened in 1954. We'll come back to that in a minute. But first we'll go to our beloved host and founder of Deeper Truth, Mr. Donald Hartley.
Well, good evening there, John. And you know, tell me, John, who do you desire to be under? Law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, the son of the free woman through promise. Now this is an allegory. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. The correspondence to the present Jerusalem, which we are now at, for she is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. Wow. Wow. So we have Mother Mary as our spiritual mother, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And
yes, indeed.
I just see this allegory that Mary is our mother. We're not sons of the slave woman.
Nope.
We're sons of the free woman, the freeborn. Oh, man, the Mother Mary. And she was conceived without original sin. Que caritomini. Oh, ain't that so good? Oh, that is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all about. And by the way, I looked into this one here that we're looking at tonight, and it is a no decision. It is one of those of the no decision, not condemned. In fact, the Catholic Church, the Catholic Coptic Church at St. Anthony's there in Jerusalem. And so, you know, St. Anthony of Padua, he is the patron saint of the lost and found. And I have to tell you, he's one of my favorite saints. And tell you, so. And so, I think about it. Mary, you know, she was brought back to Jerusalem with St. John. And it is believed that it's from Jerusalem that she, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary took place. And, you know, John, you don't have a grave where Mary was buried in. She was never buried in a grave. She was not.
Mm-mm.
She was taken, you know, and we know that St. Thomas and St. Timothy were witnesses of Our Lady's Assumption. In fact, she left her girdle in the hands of St. Thomas. And a lot of times you'll see a picture of St. Thomas with Mary's girdle in his hand. Wow.
That's embarrassing.
So, it would be. She just didn't need it no more. She just didn't need it no more with her royal wardrobe, with that magnificent heavenly wardrobe she has in the sky now. So, wow.
Thank God for that.
That's amazing. Yes.
Yes.
Now, I love that. I love that song, Show Me Your Glory. I love that. Show me your glory in that original, in the intro song that we shared. Show me your glory. Well, you know, everywhere that the Virgin Mary appears, you see the Lord's glory all around her. And I think we'll see that today as well in our stories today.
Yep. So who else is with us tonight?
We've got Doc from Tennessee. Hi, Doc.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing fine.
I'm ready to go. Got my little pad and pencil.
All right.
Outstanding.
Notes. Yep.
All
right.
Note picker.
Yep.
I'll just start it because I'll get a thought in my head and, you know, if I don't write it down, I forget it because the channel changes so fast. And say, you know, in my head, it's like, well, I'll get 10, 15 thoughts in a row real quick. But if I don't write them down, they're gone like smoke in the wind.
Well, it's a good thing you got that pen and paper. Mm. All right. Well, our story is in Jerusalem, Israel, 1954. And in May of 1948, State of Israel was proclaimed in Tel Aviv. Wars and atrocities soon followed in the Middle East, but something special happened a few years later in July of 1954. The Coptic Patriarchal Church and the Coptic School of St. Anthony of Egypt are barely 100 yards away from the Holy Sepulchre of the Resurrection, where the tomb of Jesus and the true cross were allegedly discovered. It was in these surroundings that there occurred two apparitions of Blessed Mary during a two-week period that July of 1954. they become important because there were so many witnesses. All right. So, again, here we got something that happened. The state of Israel was proclaimed in 48. There's wars breaking out in the Middle East. And what happens? Mary makes an appearance. So, again, when things are happening in a certain area, often she comes, and we'll see what comes of that. So it began on the morning of July 18th, 1954. Primary class number 5 was receiving religious instruction at the School of St. Anthony. The young students included Coptic, Catholic, and Muslim children. At about 11 a.m., as the students were anticipating their lunch break, and you know how kids are when lunch is about to happen, some of them were looking out the window. Suddenly, they exclaimed with excitement, "Eladra, Eladra," which means the Virgin, the Virgin. They shouted that the Virgin Mary was floating by a window across the courtyard. They recognized her as the Blessed Virgin because she was dressed in blue and was surrounded by a glowing white aura near her body. As Donald said, the glory of God. This white glow transformed into an iridescent blue as it radiated outward from her form. All the children rushed to the windows to see the sight. All of them saw Our Lady. The teacher, however, could not see her. She had trouble getting the children to settle down and come back to their seats. Yeah, you can understand why. The children did not want to leave the windows and lose sight of this divine presence. The teacher summoned the school's male secretary for help. He also could not make out any image of the Blessed Virgin, so he commanded the children to stop being so silly. After bringing the class back to order, he locked the door to prevent them from going into the courtyard. Soon, the children were in an uproar again. This time, Our Lady actually appeared within their classroom among the children. The Virgin's form with its whitish blue aura seemed to have been rather transparent since the young witnesses could see right through her. This event lasted for about 5 minutes, or at least long enough to attract several of the adults. The adults were bewildered because they still could not see anything, while the children were ecstatic with excitement. But then Blessed Mary positioned herself in front of one of the classroom walls where she grew in intensity and brilliance. At that point, several of the adults admitted that they could make out the outline of her figure with a faint luminescence. Now they knew that the children were not imagining things and had good reason to be excited. Then the Blessed Virgin vanished at that moment. Okay, I'm going to stop right there before we go on with what happens next. Any reactions, comments? I mean, this is pretty awesome in a classroom of kids.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
That's what came to my mind when they started screaming. You know, they knew. You know, so out of the mouths of babes.
It would be very frustrating as an adult to know they're seeing something, but then we can't see it. And so usually heaven does a little something, at least let one teacher or somebody or several somebodies be able to see something so that they won't dismiss all the children's accounts. And sure enough, several of them eventually could see her better and knew that they weren't making it up. So that was cool. So, news of this supernatural event spread like wildfire. You can bet. Remember, this is 1954. The school was permanently disrupted for that day, with hundreds of the curious coming to view this classroom where the apparition had taken place. Eventually, this classroom was painted in blue to match the color of Our Lady's dress. A magnificent icon of the Virgin Mary was placed on the wall in front of which she had appeared. A plaque outside the classroom window details the events of that appearance by Our Lady. So the Coptic Church associated with this school of St. Anthony, which is just like a block or two away, experienced a sudden increase of visitors and pilgrims. Hey, people flock to the churches now. Scheduled services became standing room only, and their devotion was richly rewarded 1 week later. At Vespers on July 25th, 1954, there were close to 400 people present, including Muslims as well as Christians. The parish priest was a, quote, tough, strong, no-nonsense man, unquote, who was conducting the service. When it became interrupted by startled shouts and cries, you know, and during Mass, that's not cool, you know, but it happened. The entire congregation was definitely seeing something. When the priest looked, he was so overcome with emotion at what he witnessed that he could not continue the Mass. The priest and the entire congregation clearly saw the appearance of the Blessed Virgin Mary moving either just above their heads or among and between them. This time, the lady was even more visible than before, and rays of colored light streamed out from her and bathed the astonished faces of the congregation with many colors. People also saw the rays of light reflect off the church walls. This appearance of our Holy Mother lasted for about 15 minutes. That's a long time when you're seeing something supernatural. And that was enough time to run outside, alert others who then came in and saw her as well. So you had time to, hey, come in off the street. Come in here and see this. People run inside and they could see her also in the church. So it was quite an event. Over 400 witnesses. Well, then the miraculous and divine image of Our Lady slowly faded until only her blue-white aura was present. Then that also faded and disappeared altogether. An account of these two apparitions appeared in the Coptic Patriarchal Journal, yet the Copts did not feel favored. Their bishop summarized their feelings well with his statement, quote, "She did not come for our sakes. She came because this place is holy, being within a few yards of Calvary and the tomb." Despite this wonderful and inspiring pair of sightings, Israeli and Arab conflicts escalated and intensified, continuing to the present day. And even though that was a fascinating two apparition appearance, that's the end of the story. But what a story. Can you imagine either being in that classroom and seeing Mary show up or seeing her float over you during Mass for 15 minutes, shooting off rays of light? That is quite a sighting. What do you all think?
I would have been asking questions. It would have been phenomenal, but I'd be like, I got questions. I would, you know, because I do. The opportunity, how could you resist an opportunity like that?
I bet you'd be so stunned, though. I don't know if you'd remember anything.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm pretty sure I'll never be a visionary because, like you said in your outro, they do check these people's psyche out, and I don't think I'd pass the test going in, so I'm pretty sure I'm not on the list. And I'm glad. Mary. Believe me, that is one. I mean, it's a phenomenal honor, but not one I would want.
Yeah. Well, we've had some visionaries say that to her. Don't pick me, pick someone else. And she goes, I don't always pick the best people. She said that. Heaven picks whoever they want to pick. Ian Juan Diego in Guadalupe, he told Mary, hey, get someone else to do this. I don't think I'm going to be any good. And she goes, nope, you'll do.
Yeah. Well, it's not like you can say no, but come on. There are better qualities.
Oh, you could, but she doesn't take no for an answer. I've never known anyone for her to just move on to somebody else. She's always stuck with whoever they pick. Because in heaven, they already know the outcome before we even know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's really, it's really amazing because as you're talking there, John, my cat's sitting right here just purring like, wow. Just very happy.
Your cat's got it. She knows.
He likes to sit down here right next to me as I'm on the radio, and he likes to lean up on the Bible here that I have here. Yeah, he's
smart cat.
A very blessed cat.
One holy cat. So what do you think of that, Donald? That's pretty amazing. Over 400 people, time to go get people off the street and bring them in and show them what they're seeing. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Well, it is, and I would be interested because you did mention that it had Coptic, which, you know, the Coptic, many of them have returned back to the Catholic unity, which is fantastic because the Coptic was founded by St. Mark, and he was a very close friend of St. Peter. And so he never intended to start something that would be competing with Rome. Not at all.
Right.
On the contrary, he would be everything and supporting Rome, just like St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, you look at Romans chapter 1. You ever read Romans chapter 1? Verse 1?
I don't recall.
I mean, it's pretty, I think what St. Paul says is really something else. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I mean, St. Paul. He lays it out there. I don't see – he just makes it very clear here. I mean, he is very clear here. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says – well, actually, not verse 1. It's verse 8. But 8 is really, you know, the right after 7, right? On the eighth day, created Arkansas. On the eighth day, God created Arkansas. You know, in the seventh day, God rested. Well, on the eighth day, he created Arkansas. Now, here's what he says, Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith, he's talking to the Roman church, right? Because your faith is pro. Because he says.
Pro what?
I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. That's St. Paul, Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. And that is powerful. It is Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
And Our Lady is its mother. She's the freeborn woman. and she's appearing all over the world. Now, understand, this one, as far as the church is concerned, it has no it hasn't rendered a decision. And if 386 of these reported events, only one has been virtually condemned. That's Bayside, New York. That one was by the local bishop, formally condemned. Now, there's been a number of them that have a negative decision, but a negative decision does not constitute condemnation. It just simply
Doesn't it make you wonder when you have over 400 witnesses, school officials, a priest, you know, you have all these quality witnesses and different faiths even, in all ages, why would they have any question or doubt that this happened? It's a good question. I don't know why they would hesitate to proclaim it. I mean, it has more witnesses than
Fear.
Many of them that are proclaimed.
Fear. They're afraid.
Yeah.
Doubt.
Yeah. And I have to say,
number of reasons.
A lot of them that have no decision. Again, it's not negative. It's just that, like you said, they might be a little afraid to be the ones to say it's, you know, credible. Even though they might feel that way, they might want to wait and see, which is what a lot of, well, I've read that a lot of times. They just want to wait and see what else happens.
Yeah.
Well, if nothing happens, the wait and see becomes an ending forever. So, but sometimes they'll come back around and then approve it. I mean, they had one that took 346 years to approve. That's a long time, 346 years, but they finally approved it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there wasn't any good reason why they waited. They just didn't get around to it until then.
So. On my to-do list.
Yeah, it's on the to-do list. I like that. But we don't blame anybody. We just say, oh, well, they haven't made it official yet. But certainly over 400 people don't have any question about it. By the way, Donald, a very similar one is Zaytun, Egypt, when there were thousands and thousands of people who saw her on many nights. I actually talked to someone who had talked to a witness from that time, someone who had been there in the crowd, and it was a friend of theirs who was a friend of mine. So indirectly, I was able to ask some questions to my friend, to his friend, and he said that it was basically mesmerizing. He said we were just frozen in place. He said you felt numb. You just looked up there and you just saw that and you were just numb. You couldn't move. You were just like frozen. And, but you felt it all the way down to your toes. I mean, it was just such an incredible vision and experience. And I thought that was really cool to get a firsthand testimony now through a friend of someone who actually had been there in 1968. So, that's cool.
Right.
Well, you know, John, you could read in Scripture, and Daniel, the prophet, when he had a vision, he would heartily agree and concur with you in his experience.
Yes, I remember.
Yes.
Yep. We were studying Revelations at our church, and it's interesting because the John who wrote that, which is not the same John that we might think, but the John who wrote that, there's a number of times where he talks about dropping to his knees and being like frozen in place And it seems real obvious to me he was having a visionary experience. He was being shown things, and some of the things he was shown are like right out of the heaven research I'd done, just right out of it, almost word for word what people in glimpses of heaven have reported. So I was fascinated by that, fascinated by it. It seemed like he truly was some kind of visionary who'd had those kind of experiences like our other visionaries.
Well, you know, referring to John, when he had a vision of the angel, and he began to go down to his knee, and the angel says, no, worship God alone. I'm a servant of yours. And who is he referring to? And your brothers. At the time of this writing, we're looking at the Pope, who was after Peter. Could have been Clement, St. Clement of Rome. But the point I'm making is that the angel from heaven was recognizing the church authority in the brothers of St. John. And so if we're looking at it today, 2,000 years later in our time, remember our time is not God's time, but the angel would recognize St. John and his brothers who are there today, our clergy today, you know, all the bishops and the Pope, all of them are part of that. And Our Lady, she is our spiritual mother. And so she appears all over the world to gather us in, to bring back the prodigals. And that's an important aspect. And think about that. I mean, it's interesting that they're at St. Andrew's, the Coptic Catholic Church there in Jerusalem. And then that school, which is very similar to any Catholic school that you might find in America. You'll find that you'll have various religious, you'll have other denominations that might send their kids to that school, because they recognize that the Catholic school has discipline, and they teach family and moral and all that. So there's a lot of reasons why somebody might send somebody to first of all, to get them away from public school, you know. So they'll send them to a Catholic school where they get a good education. And so,
curricula tends to be a little bit harder, I think. It's been my experience. We homeschooled our sons, but we used a Catholic curricula.
Curriculum.
It's pretty strong. I mean, it's a pretty good thing. They learned stuff I didn't know when I went to school. We didn't study that stuff. So,
I agree.
My school, they figured, like with me, I was working and going to school. So they just figured, well, he's in the job market. Let him do what he wants. He's already in the job market. We'll give him a slide.
Are you glad they did or not?
No, actually, I wish they had been a lot strenuous, but in a way, I'm glad they didn't, because I was able to get through, did what I did. I mean, typically what I would do because of my work schedule is I would show up like a couple weeks before finals were due and just ask the teacher, what do I need to do to get a passing grade? And they'd give me an insurmountable amount of schoolwork, and somehow I got it done. I would take that, assignment and cram for like a week on it and just knock it all out. No sleep, just boom, boom, boom. And I did because I worked. I got up in the morning, delivered papers, and I have a car, so it was all on foot. I delivered newspapers, and then I went to school, and after school,
I worked, I finished furniture, and then after that, I worked at Dunkin' Donuts, and after that, then I walked home. And, you know, I usually got home about 11 o'clock and had to get up at 4 or 5 to get the papers the next morning. So
wow. Wasn't
a whole lot of time for book work.
Yeah, no. None.
But I managed to get through it, you know.
Yeah. You got the start in life that you needed at that point.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing also I learned about Revelation, which I found very interesting, you know, so much of it is very confusing and hard to understand. Well, I learned that that was done on purpose because they didn't want to be persecuted by the Romans. So they wrote it in code and metaphoric images that the private Christian groups knew and understood, but the Romans would be like, huh? You know, and they wouldn't get it. Well, they did a good job because a lot of us were going, huh? And having trouble to decipher it too. But they said the early Christians had certain code words and certain phrases and things and that they used that the Romans wouldn't understand. And that's why it was written in such kind of hard to comprehend images and wording. Had you heard that before, Donald?
Oh, I'd heard it before, but I also think that I think it was written maybe a little bit earlier than they some people will say, because you look at Revelation chapter 17, and you can see the fall of Jerusalem, and you know the whore of Babylon, and people misunderstand that and think, well, that's the Catholic Church. No, it's not. In fact, the whore of Babylon would have been Israel. Judaism.
Right.
The whore of Babylon is not the Catholic Church.
Right.
No. And so I had somebody come and say, you know, in fact, I wrote an article, Come Out of Her. And somebody was saying, trying to encourage Catholics to come out of the Catholic Church. Come out of her. And I responded back to him, said, well, actually, as Catholics, we already did. Because, you know, when you go to the Jerusalem, you know, when the destruction of Jerusalem, you don't hear about the Catholic Church or Christians being theirs. You know, it was the Christians were already out of there. And where were we setting up that? We were setting up in Rome. Peter was in Rome. Paul was in Rome, as we were sharing a while ago earlier, that St. Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 8, Romans chapter 1, verse 8, kind of implanted in your mind out there, because of it is. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. And who is St. Paul talking to here? He's talking to the Roman church. The Roman church. Romans chapter 1. Verse 8.
We got
and
it.
And that, yeah. And that's very, very powerful to me. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Now, is he talking to the Southern Baptists here? No, no he's not. They wouldn't come about until 1835, you know.
I want to give a quick shout out to my son Joey. He plays these video games called Roblox. There's a bunch of different games in there, and some of them you can chat. And there are demonic people everywhere, and there are trolls that get in there and they try to. They spew this poison onto these kids, and they messed with the wrong kid. Joey ate them for breakfast and gave them seconds. They tried to shoot down religion, God, promote Satanism, and he just crushed them.
Wow.
Credit to his mother. She, you know, if I get to heaven, it's on her coattails, and my sons are the same, but I couldn't be prouder. I mean, I know pride's a sin, but I couldn't be prouder. He did so well.
That's wow. Great.
He like, was like, oh, man, you messed with the wrong. Yeah, it's kind of like, remember that movie Patriot with Mel Gibson? When they walked in that bar and they said, long live King George. The reception they got.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, that's about what happened. So, he did good. I'm very proud of him.
That's great.
Wow.
So next week, we will be going to Lebanon in the Middle East, and it happened in 1908, and the place is Mantara, M-A-N-T-A-R-A, Mantara, Lebanon, 1908, and then again in 1911. So two different sightings or experiences there, and that'll be a rather interesting one. So we'll be going there next week.
Roger that.
Roger that. And I don't have anything else tonight. Y'all have anything else?
I've got a fire going. I wish y'all were here.
Well, I'm glad you got
one. It's actually a nice night. It's a little cool. But, you know, I was sitting by the fire earlier and pretty much heated up my feet. I mean, it's nice. It's a pretty little fire. And
that's great.
That's and I wonder great. What happened to Mike and Kathy tonight. They're usually...
Well, hard to tell. They may have been.
You didn't say anything about missing the show.
Hope they might have something come up. Yeah. People do have other things that come up and happen.
Well, you know, next week, Kansas City and Cincinnati is going to be in a big game tomorrow or that Sunday night. So that'll be kind of something to keep an eye on.
Oh. Yeah. Should we cancel next week? do for the Kansas City fans, you want to cancel next week?
Well, just you know, that's the beautiful thing about what we have is we have the archive.
Right.
So if you missed the live portion, you could always hit the archive.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight was interesting. Yeah. Tonight was genuinely interesting. And, of course, we throw a lot of filler in there. We do.
Yeah.
That's what I like about what we do.
She didn't leave no messages on this one. She just kind of was there, huh?
Yeah, as far as we know.
Kind of like Knock.
Kind
of like Knock.
Right? Knock and Zaytoon and several others where she just makes an appearance and her presence was enough to achieve many things. I mean, you had lots of people coming to the church and lots of people revived in their faith. And, you know, so sometimes that's all it takes is just show up. And so it depends what heaven's goal is.
I heard that.
Yep.
Well, heaven's goal.
I think I can handle a vision like that.
Oh,
you know? Yeah. Yep. Heaven's about, Our Lady is all about introducing us to her son. And she wants us to get to know Jesus. And so bring them all in. That's what she's all about. She's all about bringing them all in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The VA, you know, I broke my back last June, right? The VA sent me a back brace yesterday. They finally sent me a brace. 7 months later.
Oh, my goodness.
That's socialized
amazing.
Medicine.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Sadly amazing.
It works, though. It's pretty good, but I would have liked it a few months ago. Oh, man.
I bet. All right. Well, I think we can go ahead and do our Hail Mary worldwide and wrap it all up.
Okay.
So I invite everyone out there around the world to join with me now in saying this Hail Mary, because as we do, all our voices around the world will rise up in unison at the same moment to heaven from all around the world at the same time. And that's just amazing when you think about it. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
And no, I can't do the Latin version like Kathy does. Amen. You'll just have to imagine that.
Yeah.
That's amazing what she does.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
that
gosh,
is
she's
amazing.
A beautiful
voice. All right. Well, thank you all. I know it was a short story, but somewhere out there, someone may have written a book on all this. And boy, when they do, I'll get hold of it. It'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's how I get
all
to
right,
the gems. Where...
Have a blessed night.
How you too.
All right. Well, if you remember at the beginning of the show, I played the song Show Me Your Glory. And we see that with Our Lady. She shows us His glory. And so that brings us in the light.
salvation. Cause all I want is to be in the light.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.